Blog Talk Radio.
A Monday warrior, mean, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean, mean pride.
Temple. Good afternoon on the East Coast, good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you wherever and, oh, by the way, whenever you may be listening. My name is Jason Dias, broadcasting live from the studios of eloquentonline.net in beautiful New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof, and a long, long walk, but a short flight on the Millennium Falcon up to Charleston, South Carolina. His name is Tough Talkin' Troy Hall, Chief Operating Officer at South Carolina Federal Credit Union. Hey, Troy, how you doing?
I am S-M-I-L-I-N-G.
It is a sad, I mean, you know what, child stars, there was a day when child stars used to grow up and actually do something purposeful with their lives. Shirley Temple followed up her career in show business with a pretty accomplished career as a diplomat. And I got to be honest, not every celebrity death makes me reflect on back in the day. But, you know, if you remember Shirley Temple movies, those are the things that we would watch on black and white TV before you had all these channels. And it was always something that everybody could watch. And I certainly watched my share of Shirley Temple movies. What about you?
Yes, I've been exposed to Shirley Temple movies. But again, I moved away from them. But nonetheless,
yeah,
I definitely
knew
who she was. And I think your comment was spot on about, you know, child stars or just people who, you know, come into limelight and how they carry themselves, what their values are that they express. It's realistically, each and every one of us represent a brand. The brand is our own individualness and our core values of that brand. And so we become aligned with individuals who kind of match up with us. So, you know, it's like it's easy to match up for me to match up with someone like Shirley Temple Black because there was a lot of congruency in the way she approached life from the positive attitude of life. And I'm
Absolutely.
A very positive attitude kind of person, so I can match up with that.
Yes, yes, you are. And I'll tell you, the show was called The Power of Performance, the show that asked the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? And Shirley Temple was a stone-cold performer that left the audiences wanting more. Her movies and videos are still being sold today, as I found out, because I downloaded that song about 8 minutes before the show started, edited it, and punched it up on the radio show, as I thought it was important that we mention that. And it's also important to mention that our sponsor of the show, GoMarquee.com, well-known for their MCIF, CRM, and compliance consulting solutions. They also have print and creative solutions. GoMarquee.com are good buddies up in Plano, Texas, sponsoring the show. And on the show today, the show is called Meet Me at the Watershed or Stay Where You Are. We have some big news breaking in the credit union marketplace. Not too far from you, Troy, a little north of you in North Carolina. State Employees Credit Union, the second largest, let that sink in for a minute, all of you CU crasher types, the nation's second largest 27 B with a $1 billion credit union just said to CUNA, you didn't leave us wanting more, and we're going to go in a different direction. And we got to talk about this, Troy. You know, you're a credit union leader. You're somebody that gets out there and talks to a lot of people. What was your first reaction when you heard about this? And then I'll tell you mine.
Well, I will say this. It's what I recognize and remember from my stories and understandings of Mr. Blaine is that, you know, often he has a very progressive thoughts. He approaches situations very differently than what I would think that sometimes the average executive within the credit union industry is. He pushes the envelope in helping people think things differently. For instance, you know, he had a philosophy that your capital ratio needed to be much lower so that you were actually constantly putting the money out for the membership level. So he, you know, so he had sort of, he kind of challenged the status quo in things. So for me, my initial reaction was, oh, that's Mr. Blaine challenging the status quo again. And so then more depth and detail of what it is he had to say starts to get me to question and think a little bit more about, what is he seeing out there that others should see who aren't seeing it? And so that's what it calls to question. He's very successful. And it's and you kind of look that in business. You know, you look at business people who are successful and you go, well, why are they successful? What do they do? Well, sometimes they look outside the box. Sometimes they're visionaries well before people recognize them to be visionaries. And so for me, I kind of look at it and go, so I wonder what he's seeing that maybe I haven't seen that now is going to cause me to take a second or a third look.
Yeah, as a programming note, we're hoping to have Mr. Blaine on the radio show, this very show, next Wednesday. And I got to tell you, I spoke to two people this morning not for a long time, but at some length. The first person I spoke to was the reporter who ran the story, the exclusive interview from the Credit Union Journal. Ray Birch had this story yesterday at 2:06 p.m. Eastern Time, February 10th. I actually got the story from Tim O'Hara. He from the CU Business Magazine shot me an email with kind of a wow, 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 check this out. So I spoke to Ray. His comments to me, he couldn't join us on the show today, but his comments to me were, he says, this story is just getting started. This is just the beginning of the story. This is not the end of the story. And then I decided, well, I'll try to call Mr. Blaine. You know, and of course, Troy, you know what I'm thinking. Trying to call the CEO of a $27 billion credit union is not going to be very, very easy. I've got to tell you, I have waited longer in line at Subway to speak to a manager. Mr. Blaine picked up the phone. He was honest and forthcoming. He was gracious. And he didn't have a lot of time, as you can imagine, but we must have spent 8 or 9 minutes on the phone and just kind of talking about what he said. He said he'd love to be on the show. He couldn't be on it today because they're dealing with some snow and wintry conditions the same way y'all are up in the Carolinas. And but he said, no, I asked him, I said, is there somebody on your team, your marketing or a communications person that you could have come on the show and talk about? He said, no, I'll talk about it. You know, I'm happy to come on and talk about this. And so, of course, I sent a thing to CUNA, too, saying, hey, you're welcome to join us. Troy and I, we have never mistreated anybody on this show. We have never been rude to anyone. We have never been acerbic with anybody. This is a show where we talk about what's happening in the banking marketplace, and this is a big deal happening in the marketplace. The second part of that story is, of course, he's also walking away from the Carolinas Credit Union League, which is starting its new brand in kind of a rough spot now. I'm hoping there's a way for him to come back to the Carolinas League. I hope there's some way to go after him and say, look, we want you back. We need you back. We're better with you than without you. And I'll certainly tell him that next week because I'm a fan of the Carolinas Credit Union League. But Troy, this is a big deal, and it's
it is a big deal. And if you look at the article that you referenced, and you look at some of the key points in that particular article, and even without making a commentary about them one way or the other, just taking a look at the questions he raises, it does. These are the kinds of questions that leaders should be asking and should be seeking answers for, and they should be evaluating them based on what's relevant for themselves. And what I really respect about it is that this whole conversation and the way the journalist wrote the article wasn't about something like, it's not like necessarily broken for everybody. It's just like, it's not going to work for me. And so I'm going to tell you why it doesn't work for me. And if you as a leader can take a look at that and say, should I didn't ask those same questions myself. Maybe I should be asking those questions. And it's not as though this is the Pied Piper out there who's trying to now, create some sort of, catastrophe in the marketplace by saying, here everybody, I think everybody should go away from it. I mean, none of that's happening. This is just basically, here's what I'm doing. It's big news because I'm a large player in the marketplace. Yes, I do control a lot of support, financial support, to these two organizations. I'm putting it out front. And and then you kind of look at it and kind of evaluate it from there. So,
well, like I said, he was very, 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 very kind and very, very forthcoming. Like I said, I was just shocked. I got to the administrative offices, and I was like, yes, could I please speak to Jim Blaine? And the lady was like, just a minute. And click, the phone picked up. There was no, who is this? Who are you with? I just thought that was very, very interesting because, as you know, Troy, these guys are busy. I mean, you're talking about a big, big operation upstate from you in North Carolina. And like I said, on this show, I said I would tell you what I thought. But on this show, we always try to keep in tune with what's happening, and this is a big deal. Obviously, he can't go to GAC now. Wasn't going to go. He can't go now, now that he's not affiliated with CUNA. He told me that. And he, like I said, he was very, 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 very gracious, and I'm looking forward to having him on the show next week. My first reaction, and again, I took to Twitter yesterday and hashtagged, hate to say I told you so. I have had a challenging relationship with CUNA. I've done a lot of stuff for CUNA, but I also remember back in 2005, I gave the highest rated spoken session rated by the participants at the World Council of Credit Unions, the entire World Council of Credit Unions. World Council of Credit Unions took the unprecedented step of inviting me back the next year. They had never invited a speaker back 2 years in a row. And then I, down the road said some things about the structure of CUNA being too big and how do we lose two big billion-dollar banks in Texas, two big credit unions that became banks up in North Texas, and maybe CUNA needed to reevaluate what they were doing. This was 2005, Troy. And lo and behold, I get disinvited from the World Council of Credit Unions show in Ireland, and it had a lot to do with my comments about the size and scope of CUNA. When we get back from the break, Troy, I know you work in the credit union marketplace. You're a respected guy. I'd ask you just to put on your PhD in global leadership hat, and if you were the CEO of CUNA today, I mean, it begs the question, we're at the watershed. What next? I mean, do we go back and do what we've been doing, or how do we move forward? And we'll talk about it all right after this.
You're listening to the Power of Performance. If your brand were a band, would you leave your audience wanting more?
That is right, where the talk is hot, but the hosts are
hotter and a lot more handsome. At least they are in South Carolina.
A lot more handsome in every vicinity. Hey, some people tweet. Some people tweet about what they're having for lunch. Troy and I talk purposefully about big things happening in our credit union and banking marketplace. And folks, you can hide. You can pretend like this is not a big deal, but this is a big deal. All caps, big deal. Troy, you are the CEO of CUNA. As you're sitting in your office today, I've just got to ask you, if you were, what next?
Well, I guess basically for me, if I were in that position, what I might have been doing all along, and not necessarily just at this point, would have been ensuring that my strategy and my structure aligned. What I have recognized through my research work through the Global Leadership and Entrepreneurship Program doing at Regent University out of Virginia Beach is that what occurs is there when there's a misalignment of strategy and structure. And typically what happens is that if you have a structure, then – well, actually, I'm sorry. Let me start over again. You actually create your strategy first, and your structure should then support the strategy. When you have a structure in place and you modify the strategy to meet with the structure, you have to ask yourself, have you diluted what you're actually trying to do or not? Now, so for me, I would take a look at CUNA's various business lines, its product lines, and I would ask, are those product lines meeting the needs of the individuals that are reaching out to them? And I would make sure that I had created a combination of decentralized and centralized structures in order to support the strategies. If I were to go back to one of the comments that was made in the article, I would look at that and say, well, the challenge is how do I make sure that what I'm delivering to this mass group can meet the various needs of individuals in various stages? And I might approach it much like I would at the credit union when I do segmentation marketing. I realize that for individuals who are credit-driven, their needs are different than empty nesters or individuals who are in a retirement. So they're going to be approaching products and the communication and conversation differently. And I'm not saying this is true, but I'm saying if the perception is that CUNA speaks with a one-size-fits-all approach, and I kind of infer that a little bit from Mr. Blaine's comments, then it could be that he sees that he is now outside of the general marketplace that that company, that the CUNA is representing. And so then the question becomes, well, how do you fix that? And there might be some solutions to it. It would be, for me, like in a very simplistic fashion, and I don't want to demean the complexities of this and say and make it, you know, so trite that it's going to be such a small thing. But if you think about a training class, I mean, a lot of our folks who listen can get this. If you brought senior level people and new hires into the same training class and your instructors taught it as though the individuals knew nothing about it, then you will have individuals who were brand new into the group who would be loving it, and anybody who had any experience or anything to say about it would be going, are you kidding me?
Right. Exactly.
So
That's a great metaphor, actually. That is actually a great way of putting it.
Yeah, so I think that what I would have to do is I would have to make sure that if I were representing, and I'll just take one category, the political action grassroots. So again, I'm just making some commentary about this. I'm not being critical of anyone. So right. I'm saying that I might look at it and go, am I representing the political needs of the whole organization as a group, and am I also representing political needs of specialized segments?
Right.
And if so, how do I structure the resources that I need in order to meet the demands of that? Because the political advocacy, for instance, when it came to business lending, did not help a $5 million credit union.
Right.
And it wouldn't have helped it. So you have to ask yourself how much resources might be spent on maybe doing the political advocacy of that, and did it create value for a various segment? And maybe the decision is it doesn't necessarily create a tangible value. It's more what we call an implicit value versus an explicit value. Explicit value is one in which the individual is getting the hardcore benefit out of it. They see it, they feel it, they touch it. Implicitly means that this is set up in place because the structure of our organization, our industry, needs these very big top topics handled even though they may fall out of the immediacy needs of the smaller organization. But I think that if I were looking at it and managing it, if I were King for a day, it would be, how can I create a segmentation management approach that might help me realign my strategy and structure and then get my resources? So,
right. Well, you know, I'll tell you.
You also know, too, that I've stuck to a very high road on this. I didn't talk about the marketing and member education piece, which would have fallen under every day as bank transfer day. So I'm just saying that before I close.
I know you did. But see, and man, and I've had to – I'm sitting on my hands right now because I'm very what's the right word? I'm very fired up about this for a lot of reasons. First of all, I think – I don't want to see CUNA go away. I don't want to see the Carolina Credit Union Leagues go away. I want all these organizations to be strong and viable. And I think these kinds of moments compel you to rethink or at least, you know, recast where you're going with your brand. Since you're the president of CUNA, I'm trying to imagine you as the president of CUNA, man. You probably get, what, 14 cruises every year compared to the 10 you get right now?
You're funny now. Thanks very much.
Now,
yeah.
If I were the president, I'm not John Ronenbaugh, but if I were the president of the Carolinas Credit Union, I'll be honest with you, my attitude would be, let's go get them back. Let's go out there and say, wait a minute, okay, you left CUNA, but you don't have to leave us. We're neighbors. We know each other. Come back. You don't have to leave. My attitude would be, how do we go out there? If we lost them, we can get them back. And I would be looking at ways to do that. I want to go right to what Mr. Blaine said here in the article, because he talks about what you said. That's always a great metaphor about you can't do new employee orientation for somebody that's been working at the credit union at C-level for 10 years. It would be insane. So Mr. Blaine talked about his biggest concern was that the trade association, to meet the changing demands of their key word here, of their individual members. And the quote is, it gets to who in the real world is paying for what and what value are the members getting, said Blaine. Many smaller credit unions feel they are not represented well or get the support they need, and the larger credit unions feel they are not getting enough value. These are very real issues, and if they are not addressed, we will run into a brick wall and have to address them in a catastrophic context. Well, I think the catastrophic context is, and of course that's from the story by Ray Birch in the Credit Union Journal. I don't know if it's catastrophic. I mean, it's a big loss, obviously. You take $27 billion out of the credit union marketplace at the trade level association, and it's got to make some kind of impact. But I think the biggest mistake is to do nothing. I think the biggest mistake is to say nothing. I tweeted yesterday that all you credit union conference clan crasher types, saying nothing about this is tantamount to saying the wrong thing about this. And I'm glad that we have the show to come on and talk about these things. With about 7 minutes to go, we'll take a quick break and we'll wrap it all up right after this.
Man, when I'm listening to The Power of Performance, I just can't decide who's hotter, Jason or Troy.
Well, you can't tell by the way I use my walk. I'm a woman, man. No time to talk. You need
life. That is right. The only credit union online banking radio show where the hosts are – where the talk is hot, but the hosts are
Yeah, really. Yeah, I'm glad you got that all worked out just right. That was a good lead-in, yeah.
Just perfect. Yes, my it's first
perfect.
Mistake ever on the show.
Okay.
So that's right.
Yeah, that was good.
Right. We won't ask Mr. Blaine next week who he thinks is hotter. That could make
that
for
an
awkward
moment. That would be a wise, yep, wise move on your part, yeah.
All right, Troy. We talk about this all the time on the show, the concept of reimagining your brand. Like I said, you can meet me at the watershed or you can stay where you are. I think this is a watershed moment. I thought when Texas Dow left the Texas League, it was a big moment. I will tell you that I should say this as well because I'm being factual. I spoke to Mr. Birch, the reporter that had that exclusive interview with Mr. Blaine. I spoke to Ray Birch this morning. Naturally, he contacted CUNA for a comment. I'm just curious, what do you suppose their reaction was when he contacted them?
Wow, I didn't see that coming.
No comment. They didn't want to talk. In fact, he said his exact words to me were they were a little snooty about it.
Yeah.
So maybe this is one of those things, you know, let it settle in, kind of take some time. This is difficult for everybody.
It is,
it's difficult for me. It's difficult for me. I love the Carolinas Credit Union League.
Yeah.
I host a show with somebody that lives in South Carolina. I'm speaking at the Carolina Credit Union League show in May. And like I said, for my part, I will do everything I can to get SECU back in the Carolinas league brand. But I have absolutely no interest in helping CUNA get them back. I have talked to CUNA. We have tried to do things with them, as you well know. And a lot of times, it's just like talking to a brick wall. There's no other nice way to say it.
Yeah. Well, you know, what I would say to you about this, actually, you know, I was trying to be funny before, but if you look at the timing of the issue, I mean, if you just look at the data that's in the in there, you know, there was definitely some conversation about the fact that, Mr. Blaine wanted the option to choose between one or the other. He didn't want to have to be required to choose both. And this conversation has been going on for a while. It's kind of documented a little bit going on for a while. And that the need to renew and the decision to do that had to be done by January 31. So I'm thinking, well, unless you were living under some sort of a stone, wouldn't you have recognized that this was going to be something? And wouldn't you have considered, well, what would be the reputation ramifications? I mean, we deal with these risk assessments all the time at the credit union level that deal with, you know, credit risk, reputation risk, rate risk. I mean, all this stuff, transaction risk. So I'm thinking, well, you would have to understand that reputation risk would be definitely on the line. And if you would have crafted a letter then on February 7th that would have said, okay, as it was quoted here, that I'm disappointed and thanking him for the years of contribution, and if I guess my response would have been, I would have at least reiterated what I already put in print, because it's already factual. I've already said that. I would have reiterated it. But I might have said, well, you know, I can't really speak to why Mr. Blaine made the exact decision he did, because I'm sure there's lots of things that go into it. But let me tell you what I can speak to. And what I can speak to is the topic of why CUNA is valuable and why you want to stay with it, or why you want to stay with it. In the absence of having nothing out there, you get people to start to do the crazy stuff, and that is start imagining their own storyline and putting
Absolutely.
Their own information to it. And so when you're talking about a brand and do you want the audience wanting more, well, okay, that's one aspect of the brand. But the other thing of a brand is protecting it and managing it and not letting somebody else control the message. And one of the – this is PR 101. The very first thing we teach everybody here, whenever you're going to be in front of a camera, you're going to put yourself where the news or the people is, you always look – you always say, well – I'm not sure about that, but this is what I can speak to. And you go back to your talking points.
Right,
and you have
exactly.
talking points. I mean, anything. Like when we had the breach from Target, we had talking points. So when members
right.
might ask particular questions, we can say, well, you know, I'm really not sure about that, but let me tell you what I can speak to. I can talk to this. And then
right.
you stay on point. It's just very simple, way of doing it. So I would say at that particular thing, they may have missed the mark if they haven't responded. But I will tell you that has been a fairly consistent strategy with them. So I'm not terribly surprised that the strategy was basically no comment, or I'm not prepared yet to tell you what I want to say.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, like I said, if we have him on the show, if we are able to get him on the show next week, and he said that he would love to join us, I'll do my part. I'll try to get him to come back to the Carolinas Credit Union League. I'll fly up there and wash his car or something if I have to. But, if you lose somebody, you can get them back. I believe that, absolutely. And I think the Carolinas Credit Union League merging their two leagues was an example of a step in the right direction. I think they're trying to find ways to be a more efficient and more creative for their audience. And I do wish Mr. Blaine maybe had given the league a little more time to see if the new brand could address maybe some of the things that – and it is a unique situation because it is such a big credit. Hey, Troy, believe it or not, no guests, but we are out of time. We are out of time.
Oh, my gosh.
And I want to tell you to keep warm and stay safe up there in beautiful Charleston, South Carolina, where even when it snows,
The sun still shines.
The sun still shines. Hey, everybody else, we're going to get out of here one more time. We're going to dedicate this song to our good buddies at CUNA up in Madison, Wisconsin, the late Ambassador Shirley Temple Black. Hey, buddies up there at CUNA, you got to smile, man. You got to keep your chin up. It's not the end of the world. Until next week, everybody, we'll talk to you soon.
If something may upset you, don't ever let it get you down. Don't wear a frown. If fortune should forsake you, don't ever let it make you fly. Keep shooting high. Be a crooner, not a groaner, never kick. Here's a spelling lesson that will do the trick. You've got to S-M-I-L-E. H-H-O-B-Y. Keep it in mind when you're blue. It's easy to spell and just as easy to do. Got the S-M-I-L-E. It's for my help, considerably. Just keep your chin up and give it a try.
That's right. Everybody, keep your chin up. Keep on smiling. Hey, this is not the end of the road. It's a watershed, though. And leaders out there in the credit union banking marketplace, it's time to lead. Until next week, talk to you soon.